Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast.
I'm Emily.
And we started talking over each other.
It's true. But I'm Jeanette, and I just wanted to point out that I sound even more like a male.
That is because it is 9 a.m.
I'm very tired.
But here we are.
But I'm ready for a story.
Yes, and I have a story.
Should we jump into it or talk about ourselves?
Well, our last two episodes. We filmed three episodes, so I think we should just hop into it.
I mean, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Today, in this full-length episode, hopefully, I am going to be telling you about the... Alright, just get ready for me to mispronounce everything in this episode. The normal... Storg robbery.
Is that like the normal thing though? You mispronouncing?
Oh yes, for sure. This happens in Sweden though.
Oh.
So it's
more, even worse.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot more of me mispronouncing than usual. So this is the normal Storg robbery, and it is known for being the origin of Stockholm syndrome.
Wait.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
So, after this case, they started actually looking into Stockholm Syndrome. So, for those of you that don't know what Stockholm Syndrome is, it's like if you are a hostage or you're taken captive in any way, right, and you start to feel close with your captor, if that makes sense. Like, you're mm-hmm. getting a specific bond with your captor. So...
Yes, okay.
Let me look up the actual definition, though. Just to actually get it right. It's the feelings of trust or affection felt in many cases of kidnapping or hostage taking by a victim toward a captor. So, yeah.
It's so weird.
It is weird. However, it is very, like, you have to be in the situation, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we don't know what they were experiencing, that sort of thing.
It's so yeah. Weird.
So, this occurred in Normalstorg Square in Stockholm, Sweden. So, this robbery occurred at a bank. So, Jan Erik Olsen was a convicted criminal who had disappeared while he was on furlough from prison. Do you know what furlough is?
No.
Basically, they just get to leave for a little bit. That's really it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Furlough.
Leave of absence, especially that granted to a member of the armed services. However, he was on furlough from prison.
Oh.
Like, he was a convicted felon. So. That's when this happened. So this happened like a while ago too. Like, this wasn't a recent thing, as I'm sure you could guess, as Stockholm Syndrome is.
And I was about to say.
Yeah. Well, actually this happened in 1973, so it's more recent, but it's definitely not like the most recent sort of thing. So okay. He was on leave from prison, which I think is just odd, but that's not our country.
Why would they do that?
It's like for holidays. Sometimes they get to go, like, see their families and stuff like that. It's something that they do a lot more in other countries.
I mean, I guess, yeah. But that's why people go visit them.
Right. Dude, I don't know. I wish I could tell you. So he was a convicted criminal who disappeared while on furlough, and then he walked into a bank that was called... Svengris Credit Banken.
Banken?
Banken. It's spelled B-A-N-K-E-N. And it's credit, so with just a K at the beginning. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So he apparently was standing in line, and then he... or no, he wasn't standing in line. I'm sorry. He just shot shots up into the ceiling and announced that he was robbing the bank. At this point, two policemen immediately showed up. And he shot towards one of them, hitting them in the hand. And then he sat the other one down. He ordered him to sit down and told him to sing something, which, according to one of my sources, I'm really just using Wikipedia for this, is they had some of the best knowledge. Wikipedia and allthat'sinteresting.com. Apparently, according to one of my sources, the officer started singing The Lonesome Cowboy.
Okay.
Yeah. And so at that point, Olsen took four people as hostages, and he took them into one of the vaults. So he asked for a few things in exchange for the people in vaults. Like, for them to be exchanged, you know, for for them. So he wanted his friend and fellow prisoner, Clark Olofsson, to be there with him.
They always make friends in prison.
They do. They do. And let me just tell you a little bit about this. So Olsen had met Olofsson. It's going to be very difficult.
Oh my god, is this Frozen?
I guess so, yeah. They met at a Swedish correctional facility in Kalmar, and they became friends. goodness, I'm sorry. Olsen, so the man that robbed the bank in this case, he was fascinated by Olofsson's criminal past as a bank robber. And so he, yeah, that's okay. What happened there. So he wanted him to be there. He also wanted 3 million Swedish kroner, which in today's money is 3,700. Wow, that's not it. $376,000.
Oh, that's or in a big difference.
American money, not just today's money. Two guns, two bulletproof vests, helmets, and a fast car. So. Those were his...
A fast car. A fast car.
I think so. I don't have to...
Where did a bank get a fast car from?
Oh, it was like he was talking to the police officers, like outside.
Oh, okay.
So they got it for him. Wow, my paper is very loud.
I know.
My notes are really going to be present in this.
They wanted to talk.
They did. So the names of the hostages, there were four of them, were Kristen and Mark... Bursita Lurieblack. I'm so sorry. Elizabeth. Lurieblack. Yeah, I have no idea how to pronounce it. I also can't read my own handwriting.
I can't read my handwriting. So, I can't even touch you.
So, yeah. And then there is Elizabeth Oldgren and then Sven Sofstrom. Yeah, a lot of these are very, like...
Frozen names, but it makes sense because they...
It's Swedish.
Yeah, they're Sweden too.
Yeah, they're Sweden.
They're Sweden. They are Sweden.
Kristoff is actually just Sweden.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so...
And Sven.
It's Sven, yeah.
You just mentioned Sven.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So, a few hours after the ransom was released... They allowed Olofsson in to be released as a communication link between the officers and Olsen. I'm really just going to call them Olofsson and Olsen. Olofsson is the one that got brought out of prison. Olsen was the one originally robbing the bank.
Okay.
Their names are just very similar.
They just end with, they both end with sin.
And start with Ol.
That's true.
So a few hours after they had that, after Olofsson was there, the requests were filled for them, and so they got a blue Ford Mustang with a full tank of gas, and they also did get the guns, the helmets, and what else did they want? I honestly already forgot.
A fast car.
A fast car. Well, I already mentioned that one.
Oh, they didn't hear that one.
They also got the money, so, and the bulletproof vests. All right, so... A few hours, I already read that point, wow. So the police requested for them to leave the hostages behind and for just the two of them to come out. You know? That way they could escape or whatever, and they would still have the hostages safe, all of that stuff. So they denied that. They were saying that they wanted to leave with the hostages just to assume a safe passage, you know, which makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because if it was only them to come out, they would be able to shoot them without having to worry about shooting the hostages. So, Olsen, at that point, called the Swedish prime minister and threatened to kill Kristen and Mark. These are very Swedish names. I'm very, very sorry. I wish I didn't have to pronounce them so badly. So during all of this, there were a bunch of news crews that had camped out outside of the bank just to, like, really watch it happen. This was actually the first live recorded criminal event in Sweden. Sorry, first criminal event in Sweden covered by live television. So, kind of like how Ted Bundy was the first televised, like, criminal case as well, in case you didn't know that. That's one of the reasons that the case was so popular in the 70s, was just because it was, you know, televised.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So apparently the public had a lot of suggestions on how to get the hostages out, in which they were calling to the police, to the news crews. They were also going up there.
That's so annoying.
It is. And apparently they were all really bad suggestions.
Do you have an example?
I don't, but I want to find one, because apparently it was just really bad. Yeah, I do have a couple examples, actually. So apparently the public flooded police headquarters with suggestions for the ending of the standoff that ranged from a concert of religious tunes played by a Salvation Army.
Oh.
To sending in a swarm of angry bees to sting the perpetrators into submissions.
Wait, hold on. How would the bees know to only sting them?
You see, the public wanted very highly trained bees
to go in there.
Yeah, they graduated with, like, the honor roll and everything like that. So they can tell.
That's embarrassing.
That's really bad.
If I ever sent that suggestion in, I wouldn't want anyone to share that.
Yeah. No, it's really bad.
Never mind.
So at this point, the prime minister got a call from Kristen and Mark, who, if you remember, was the one that Olsen had threatened to kill whenever he called the prime minister. He wanted stuff, you know? That's just right. The way it's going. So he threatened to kill her, and then she called him, and she told the prime minister that she was disappointed in him and how he was treating Olsen on the phone, and that would he just mind letting them all go free? Like, she just straight up asked the Swedish prime minister, would you mind, like, if we just left, like, people and our dumb captors?
Oh my god.
Well, it's because she was experiencing such a bond with her captors that she didn't want them to be hurt at all.
That's so weird.
Isn't it? Yeah. So apparently everyone was just worried about the hostages being killed and how the hostages had just formed a bond with their captors, so they weren't getting hurt at all. Like, they weren't being badly injured in any way, like a lot of people were expecting it. So, apparently Olsen gave... Why did I write her name like that? Kristen. a jacket whenever she was cold, like, just a jacket over her shoulders whenever he saw that she was, like, shivering. And apparently he comforted her during a nightmare, and gave her a bullet from his gun as a keepsake of all of this.
That's disgusting. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want that.
So, Bersitta, I was going to try to pronounce her name again, but apparently that's not going to work. Excuse me. She was allowed to call her family. However, her family didn't answer. I'm just assuming they didn't know that she was, you know, part of this.
Right.
And so the captors just kept urging her to, like, keep trying. Like, no, it's okay. Like, you'll reach them eventually.
Oh my God.
So basically, they were just really nice captors, even though they were doing awful things.
I mean, at least
they
were
nice. Yeah, no, that's true. However, they were doing, like, a lot of things. This burglary went on for 6 days.
Oh, wow.
They were stuck in a vault for 6 days.
That's scary.
Yeah. So...
did they feed them?
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure the police, like, gave them food. Like, they drilled a hole in the wall. Not the wall, I'm so sorry. In the ceiling, in which they dropped down a camera at one point, and there's, like, a pretty famous picture of that. I'll show that to you in a little bit, but I'm pretty sure they dropped down food through there and stuff like that. And they just used, like, buckets to go to the bathroom and stuff. And it was also very hot, so it must have smelled awful. Like, ew. Really bad in there. But,
that's yeah. Disgusting.
Very. So, Elizabeth Oldgren apparently started to complain of claustrophobia. And so,
Olsen, yes.
Yeah, no, that's fair. So, Olsen allowed her to walk outside the vault attached to a 30-foot rope. And she was grateful that she got to leave the vault. Which, I do understand. I would be pretty grateful for that. But, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
her exact quote is, "I remember thinking he was very kind to allow me to leave the vault." And then this is a quote from Sven Safstrom, who said, "When he treated us well, we could think of him as an emergency god."
Ew. I don't like that.
It's sad. It's very sad. So, apparently by the second day, all of the hostages were just, like, on first name basis with their captors, and they started to fear the police more than their captors. So whenever the police commissioner was allowed inside to inspect, like, the hostages' health and everything like that,
he
had noticed that the captives appeared hostile towards him, but relaxed and apparently jovial with the gunmen. This is from, by the way, history.com. This is an exact quote. "The police chief told the press that he doubted the gunmen would harm the hostages because they had developed a rather relaxed relationship." So. Yeah. Here's another quote from whenever Kristen had called the Swedish prime minister. She said, "I fully trust Clark and the robber. I am not desperate. They haven't done a thing to us. On the contrary, they have been very nice. But you know, Olaf, what I'm scared of is that the police will attack and cause us to die." That's genuinely what the hostages were scared of.
That's really sad.
It is. Was that the police were going to kill them. Not even their captors. Because they had just grown such a complete and firm bond with their captors. So.
That's so weird.
Isn't it? Apparently, one time, Olsen threatened to shoot Sven in the leg. And this is an exact quote from Sven. It said, "How kind I thought that he was for saying it was just going to be my leg that he would shoot."
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
No.
Did
the captors know that they're forming a bond?
Yeah. Yeah.
see, it's like kind of, I guess, safe to say that they weren't being the best captors, you know, because they were being so nice to them.
It's true.
You know. So apparently whenever they were threatened with physical bond, they seriously were just like, that's okay. Apparently Kristen tried to convince Sven to take the bullet in the leg. The reason I totally forgot to explain that they were threatening them to, he was threatening to shoot him in the leg, not because Sven had done anything wrong, was he just wanted to do it to shake up the police, you know? And apparently Kristen said, but Sven, it's just in the leg. Like, she wanted him to take that to help out.
That is so sad.
Olsen and Olofsson. Right.
But he didn't do it, right?
No. No, no. The convicts apparently did no physical harm to the hostages. And after 130 hours, the police finally had come up with an idea of how to get them out. So apparently they pumped tear gas into the vault through the hole that they had done.
Mm-hmm.
And then the perpetrators surrendered. So the police had called for the hostages to come out first. And they didn't want them. The hostages did not want the captors to go out first. Or they didn't want them to go out first. My goodness. Because they were afraid that if they went out first, then the captors would just be in there by themselves. And then they could just shoot in the vault and kill them in the vault. So they refused to go out first. And apparently Kristen yelled, no, Jan and Clark go first. You'll gun them down if we do. So they were very protective over them.
That's so stupid.
I mean, again, we don't know what they're going through, though.
Like, yeah, but still.
No, I totally agree. It's terrifying, though, that this is the way that
maybe it's like
it works.
They probably saw how like sweet they were being to them, so then they're like, oh well, we're gonna be nice back because we don't want it to be worse.
Well, the thing is, like, two of the women were basically in love with Olofsson.
Oh my god. Okay, mm-hmm. Never mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Olaf, by the way. Olofsson. That's who I referred to earlier in the phone call. I just wasn't apparently used to seeing it spelled Olaf, so I got very confused.
Oh my god.
So apparently the convicts and the hostages, like, embraced, kissed, and shook hands in the doorway after all of this. As this is an exact quote from history.com again, as the police seized the gunmen, two female hostages cried, don't hurt them, they didn't harm us. While Kristen was wheeled away in a stretcher, she shouted out to a handcuffs Olofsson, Clark, I will see you again.
Ew.
Mm-hmm. So the hostages' irrational attachment to the captors, like, really confused everyone, obviously. So they began investigating to see if Kristen had plotted the robbery with Clark Olofsson, which, I mean, does make sense.
Yeah.
Considering the bond that she formed with them.
Right.
Apparently, the hostages were just as confused, by the way, by this happening. There's an exact quote from Oldgren, who was Elizabeth, and she said, she asked a psychiatrist, is there something wrong with me? Why don't I hate them? Which is very sad.
That is sad.
Yeah. This is going to be an exact quote again. Psychiatrists compared the behavior to the wartime shell shock exhibited by soldiers and explained that the hostages became emotionally indebted to their abductors and not the police for being spared death. When months of the siege, psychiatrists dubbed the strange phenomenon Stockholm Syndrome, which became part of a popular lexicon in 1974 when it was used as a defense for the kidnapped newspaper heiress Patty Hearst, who assisted her radical Symbionese Liberation Army captors in a series of bank robberies. So that's actually one of the most common cases of Stockholm Syndrome, was that in 1974.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't actually too long ago, I guess.
No, it's really not. So apparently, even after Olofsson and Olsen returned to the prison, because, you know, obviously they were put back in jail. Actually, I don't believe that Olofsson got charged for any more years, because he was just brought in, like, as a...
Oh, okay.
Like, I think he was just staying for the time that he was originally supposed to. I know that Olsen did get more years. Yeah. So the hostages apparently made visits to the jailhouse.
To, like, oh my speak gosh.
And stuff. Yeah.
It's so creepy.
Uh-huh. once Olsen was freed, apparently he... This is an exact quote. Once freed, he married one of the many women who sent him admiring letters while incarcerated, moved to Thailand, and then in 2009 released an autobiography called Stockholm Syndrome.
They named it Stockholm Syndrome because that's where they were at.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never really... I didn't pick that up until now.
Yeah, no. They were in Stockholm. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Apparently a lot of people believed that he married one of the hostages. He didn't, though. So.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, oh my gosh, you know, no.
He didn't. So, what are your thoughts regarding this?
I mean, I've heard of it before, but... I don't know, it just, it gives you the creeps, because, I mean, I'm glad, like, they didn't just, like, kill him and stuff.
Right.
But, it's still just as creepy, because, like, why would you want to form a bond with someone who is keeping you away from your family and your friends, and for so long? I don't...
Right, no, I absolutely agree. So, apparently, a lot of people, whenever it comes to Stockholm Syndrome, they try to blame the victim for it, which is sad.
It is sad.
And I don't think that's the way it should
be. They didn't ask for that.
You know, at all. Yeah. So, there are a lot of different examples of Stockholm Syndrome. One of them was... the kidnapping of J.C. Dugard, who I will eventually do an episode over this.
Okay.
However, she was held captive for 18 years, which is terrifying. She was taken from a bus stop in her home in South Lake Tahoe, California, whenever she was 11 years old, and she had lived in tents behind the house of her captors, Philip and Nancy. Apparently, this is incredibly sad. While this is a quote, this is from livescience.com. While this man's actions appear to many on the outside to be of a monster, Dugard feels that her relationship with him was almost like a marriage.
Oh, no.
Apparently, it's not very surprising that she developed a bond with her captor and she did not try to escape sooner. So yeah, she was held there for 18 years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Apparently this is a very common and, I guess, expected occurrence.
I bet it's just from, I wonder if it, like, settles in their brain, like, real quick, like, oh, well, if I'm gonna be stuck here, basically, might as well enjoy it.
Yeah, that's probably it. Or it starts out like that, and then they suddenly start, like, viewing it as the way that they were trying to.
Like, oh, this is my life now.
Yeah.
Which is really sad.
But... it is really sad. I'm going to read this word for word as well. Again, we will cover this story just because there is a lot in this, J.C. Dugard story. Bonding with a kidnapper is not just a mental coping skill, but was a physical survival strategy. Since Dugard's life was at the mercy of Garridos, she depended on them for food and shelter, and it was in her best interest to the bond to protect herself from further abuse. This is an exact quote in here as well. Like, it's a quote in the article that I'm quoting, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Someone who's kidnapped as a child might see an unconscious decision to not fully see the abuse and bond with the person providing food and shelter, said Jennifer Freed, who was a psychologist at the University of Oregon. A person might respond by putting it out of their mind and acting like it's not happening. It's too important to protect their relationship. So especially if this happens with children.
That's it reminds me of Room.
Yeah.
You've seen that, right?
Yes, no, I have. I've also read it. The book is really good, too.
I mean, the mom hated him, the captor or whatever. But, like, the son didn't know that he was bad because he would bring him, like, a birthday present.
Right, and he was and born stuff.
Yeah.
In captivity.
So he really didn't know any other difference, so... Mm-hmm. But the mom knew a difference, so I guess she didn't really have that. But I feel like to a certain extent she kind of did, because she would rely on him for, like, groceries and stuff like that.
Right.
But, I mean, she did hate him, so I don't know if...
I don't think that would classify as Stockholm Syndrome. I think that was just her, like...
Trying to survive, yeah. Yeah.
It's definitely a survival strategy as well.
Right.
Apparently, it's very similar. Stockholm Syndrome is very similar... with the reaction of victims that are in domestic violence, such as children or spouses, who would suffer from domestic violence.
That's so sad.
She developed... Oh, Freed. This is Freed again. She developed an understanding of their psychology called betrayal trauma theory. According to the model, victims who are dependent on their abusers often cannot acknowledge or fight against the abuse, because their resistance might provoke retribution. So yeah, like exactly what you were saying there.
Okay, wow.
Yeah. One of the most well-known cases of Stockholm Syndrome is the kidnapping of Elizabeth Smart. Have you heard of this before? Or have you heard of her?
She sounds familiar, yeah.
It's very, very, like, well-known.
Okay.
She was kidnapped in the early mornings of June 5th, 2002. And apparently her abductor, she was 14. Her abductor, his name was Brian David Mitchell.
Wait, did she go to Midland College to talk?
She may have. I'm not too sure.
Okay.
I really don't know. She was, wow, wait. Apparently he forced her to walk on a random hike for hours and then they stopped at a campsite. Apparently they chained her to a tree after he had raped her, which was apparently a rudimentary marriage ceremony. And then he was chained her to a tree. And apparently over the next 9 months, she was repeatedly raped and psychologically molded into a prisoner.
There. That's so sad.
It's very, very sad. Yeah.
It's like it still happens even when the captors aren't, like, nice.
Right. So, she did end up getting out of that. I will do probably an episode on her, too. Those cases are interesting to me. They're super sad, obviously. But, so, like, hostage situations, that sort of thing. So, apparently, well, she's okay now. She apparently testified against him, and he is serving life in prison.
Wow.
Which is, you know, good, obviously. There yeah. are a ton of cases that are like this. It's a common... Oh, I don't want to say common because that makes me really sad. It's very...
It's not uncommon.
It's not uncommon for children... to be taken captive, like, at a young age. Like, she was only 14 years old.
Yeah.
When this happened. Of course, the original case of Stockholm Syndrome was different, as they were all adults. However, this has definitely been happening for, like, a long, long, long time.
Oh, yeah. That was just the first time they actually, like...
They named it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is Stockholm Syndrome. another case. I'm just going to keep going on cases, apparently. And apparently I'm never going to be able to make episodes on only these people. Is Patty Hearst, the one that we had spoken about before.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently she... there was a knock on her door on February 4th, 1974. And then a group of men and women went in with their guns drawn, beat up her fiance, Patty Hearst's fiance, grabbed her. She was only 19 years old, grabbed her in the car, and then they drove off. Apparently, this was like one of the strangest cases in FBI history. She was kidnapped by an army of radicals that billed themselves the Symbionese Liberation Army, or SLA. They were basically terrorists, like dangerous terrorists. So they got her because apparently she came from a wealthy family. And her grandfather was the newspaper magnate William Randolph Hearst. So they had plans for her with, like, disappearance and stuff like that. On April 3rd, they released a tape of her saying she joined their fight to free the oppressed, and they and had even, she had taken a new name.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what was her new name?
It doesn't say in the article. This is from FBI.gov, by the way. Mm. Yeah. So, on May 16th, two members of them had tried to steal an ammunition belt from a local store. Basically, they were just trying... They had some weird morals, I suppose. However, she was definitely part of robbing all of these places at the time.
That is so sad.
It's very sad. So, yeah. That is all about Stockholm Syndrome. This kind of turned more into a bonus episode, so I'm really sorry about that. I thought I had, you know, more information on the bank robbery.
But it's still fun and interesting to listen to, no matter what.
It is.
But let us know what you think exactly about Stockholm Syndrome by emailing us at...
horrorslumberparty@gmail.com.
Or you can follow us on Instagram...
Horror Slumber Party Podcast.
Or Twitter.
Party_horror.
And talk to us through there. So, yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening and tuning in. And we got to get a few episodes out of the way while we're here together.
Yeah.
But the next time you hear us, we'll be separated again. Yeah. Which is really sad. But as long as we still get to talk to each other and get to talk to y'all. So, thank you guys so much for listening. Good night and scary dreams.
Bye.